No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and today I've got my good friend, YBN Cordae.
Yes.
How you doing, bro?
I'm chilling. How about yourself?
Doing good. We were both together at the Kid Cudi album release party last night.
Yeah, for sure.
And how'd you enjoy yourself?
It was dope, bro. It was dope. Like, I felt, that was like my first, I just moved out LA like 3 days ago, so it was like my first, like, LA shit.
You crazy clout fest. You're looking one way,
exactly.
You're seeing Kardashians,
bro,
rappers.
I literally bumped into Kim Kardashian yesterday, unintentional, and I was like, yeah, I'm in fucking LA. Like, I was just on my phone, I accidentally bumped into her, and I ain't know who it was. I was like, oh, damn, my bad, gorgeous. She's like, oh, you're good, sweetie. I was like, oh, shit.
You called her gorgeous? You think Kanye would feel some type of way about that? Nah,
he wouldn't. He would be like, yeah, I know my wife is fucking gorgeous.
My two takeaways from seeing Kim Kardashian in real life: A, ridiculously beautiful.
Yeah.
B, her ass is from a different era.
Yeah, it's like, for sure. Yeah,
that's some old money.
Yeah, that's that stock market money from like the 30s, bro.
The internet boom.
Yeah, exactly.
The internet boom.
Damn.
The internet boom bought that ass. Ray J might have bought it. We don't even know. I don't know how long she had that thing.
I don't know, long enough, bro, to where it's seasoned, it's fully developed, I mean, and you know, it is straight.
So you got any pussy since you've been out in L.A.?
Yeah, I got some pussy.
How's that going? It didn't look like Kim K, I'm guessing?
It wasn't, definitely wasn't nobody of Kim K, but yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm kind of new to this L.A., L.A. pussy is nice, L.A. pussy is straight,
the vibes is better. The hills, you could go to Compton,
it's a whole different, Inglewood L.A. pussy is not that great, to be honest.
Inglewood, maybe stay away from that.
Yeah, for sure, it's that.
No disrespect to Richie or anything.
Shout out Inglewood, but I definitely felt like, you know, how Kendrick said in like Good Kid, Mad City, he got like set up and shit from getting some pussy and shit. I super felt those vibes. I was like, oh shit, who's that in that truck? Who's that? You know, you gotta be very careful in LA.
I hate that feeling.
Facts.
Yeah, I would think about that nonstop if I was still in like the aggressive like pussy getting market. Like, I would be convinced that I was
definitely in a pussy getting market, bro.
It's different because I got a girlfriend.
Come on,
we hook up with girls.
Okay, nigga.
But I'm not like, okay, I'm not gonna drive to Inglewood to fuck a girl off Tinder, which I would have done 3 years ago.
Okay, so you're all right. You matured.
Yeah, and I would have got caught up. There would have been some guy waiting with a gun, and he would have killed me and took all my cloud.
And took your IG. Shit.
And take my Instagram and change it to his name.
Fuck. I mean, shit. Just like, damn, he'd go crazy, yo.
I hope if that happens, I hope all my fans, like, have the heart to not continue to follow this dude and unfollow him and, like, don't just support his rap career because he killed me and took my Instagram.
What if he's fire, bro? What if he's fire and that's just how much he wanted to be a famous rapper?
If they listened to him and they were going to follow him anyway, yeah. But I mean, the diss tracks about killing me would probably go crazy. They'd probably be viral as fuck. Even if they're trash, they'll go crazy.
Really?
Don't you think?
Good idea.
If someone writes a diss song about you right now and it's trash, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If someone kills you and then writes a diss track about you, everybody's going to hear it.
Yeah, facts. That's like Tay-K times 100.
Oh, that's very, very true. Yeah.
Yeah, like literally, like that's the perfect analogy. I thought you were just talking about like making a diss.
I'm just talking about all the bad shit that could happen if you fuck a girl off Tinder. Don't get Tinder.
How do we get to this?
You're too popping for Tinder.
Yeah.
Now, how do we get here? I don't know.
I'm not on Tinder.
Where are you from?
All right, boom, boom, boom. It's YB and Cordae. I'm originally from Raleigh, North Carolina, but I moved to Maryland when I was like 10, so I've been in like PG County, Maryland like the last 10 years, and then I finished out high school for like 3 years in Waldorf, Maryland. So the DMV area is where I became like who I am for real.
Okay. And so how did you enter into the YBN realm?
Because just like internet shit for real, like I was just following Namir.
You're playing COD? You're playing COD?
Nah, bro. I was the only nigga who wasn't on the game, bro. Like, okay. I didn't have internet in my house, so I couldn't.
Personally,
like,
I think it's cool that YBN has deep video game roots.
Bro, Namir's the realest nigga ever. He literally blew up and put on his niggas from his Xbox Live party. Think about how fucking real that is.
That's the realest thing
That's the realest shit, bro. Vice versa, you know, I wasn't in the Xbox Live, but the average motherfucker, if you became a famous rapper, you wouldn't ever talk to your people, like, who was in your Xbox Live party ever in life.
Yeah.
But this nigga turned them all into rappers. Like, that shit's pretty
fucking
cool.
GTA is deeper than blood.
Yeah, nah, big facts, bro. Like, I realized that, like, those fucking, you can really make some, like, personal connections and shit through, like, that shit is real, nigga. Like,
that's why YBN is the new modern millennial rap crew, because of the fact that they realize that things like video games are important. That's an important part of the culture. You guys don't, like, get on Fortnite and, like, do the Drake thing, though, huh?
Yeah, nah. I'm probably the only one who isn't a huge gamer in the group for real. I just play, like, the regular nigga shit, like 2K, Madden and shit, whatever, but like they're like they on that game and shit. But no, they don't get on Fortnite like that for real.
So were you always aware that these fools were rapping and stuff, and then you were just rapping too, and or was it you were all working together in your minds to rap?
Yeah, sort of, kind of both of them. What happened is my brother. You ever heard of Simba?
Uh-huh.
Simba is like my brother, and Namir, and me and Simba has music together and shit. So me and Namir have been like following each other for like the last year, and then I met him at like you know, we just always stayed in contact, and I met him like at Rolling Loud. The one in December, and he's like, "Yo, you're using that song with Simba," and da 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 da. Like we know, we recognize each other from like IG and shit. And then every time I come out LA, he let me just like crash at his place. So we've been knowing each other for like the last year, a couple years and shit, just staying in contact. You know, just internet shit for real.
That's fire. So were you when did you become interested in rap music?
Probably when I was like young, bro. I was like 9 and 10 and shit. And like my, you know, that's when fucking the shit that's going on now was really popping for it. But like my dad would always play like Nas, Big L, like Jay-Z and shit. Mm. And I would like go home and do like I would fuck with the song so much. I would utilize this beautiful thing we have called YouTube and just look up some more of this shit. You know what I'm saying? And just start studying it. And then I got really in tune with like Kid Cudi, Kanye. Okay.
For the record, Cordae's manager Ace still has his phone attached to the Bluetooth. We were listening to his song super loud before.
Ooh, he just trying to leak my shit, Ace. Fuck. Damn, bro.
That was one of the funnier things we've had happen mid-interview, I'm going to be honest. I'm not mad at that at all.
Yeah, much funnier things could happen. Like, what if, like, a porn star just walked through the middle of this interview? That would be pretty fucking
That's insane. Regular. But,
damn,
I mean,
oh, shit.
Well, one of the funniest, that's
regular.
You want to talk funny?
Y'all lit.
D Savage, sitting here, there's a dog walking around on the table and stuff. He's kind of, like, playing with the dog. Dog just starts peeing all over the table.
Get the fuck out of here.
Piss all over the table.
You can't make this up, bro. That's beautiful.
And also, shout out to Madzilla. She's like an Instagram model. She opened a bottle of champagne and it blasted everywhere, and there was a printer and it got all over the printer. Those are my two favorite.
Oh, that's beautiful, bro. You're making me feel like a boring cat. I got to do some fucked up. So, should I just destroy this whole setup?
Get on some bunk shit? I don't know. It's always an option.
The pros and cons of that is
we
kinda
can destroy some stuff. I'm always trying to think of like fucked up things we could do to go viral. Like when I had Fatboy dump the drink on my head.
Yeah. What if I smacked your head? Is that an option? Like ski boat type shit? Just like
I was thinking about doing something where somebody steals my chain during the interview.
That'd be dope. That'd be pretty fucking.
But I don't wear a chain, so that might be either. A dead giveaway that it's not real. But,
yeah, facts. That whole jewelry designer shit, that shit is not, bro. I'm about to save so much fucking money, bro, by not wearing designer and jewelry and
so
shit.
So you're gonna
bro.
Protest it?
It's not even a protest. It's just about saving some coins, my G. You know what I'm saying? Trying to get rich as fuck. And you know how much bread I'm about to save? Because once you wear one like chain iced out and one bust down wrist, bro, you got to keep it coming because that's never enough. Once you wear them first pair of Gucci sneakers, you got to keep wearing that shit, nigga. You can't because they're going to go crazy in your comments. Man, you've been that same pair of Gucci sneaks for like 4 picks in a row.
How you wearing some Air Force Ones? You was wearing Gucci at the beginning of the year.
Facts. Exactly. Exactly. That's what that 360 do
that's
to
totally
you.
That's totally how I feel. And you know, to be honest, I've seen...
Now, I be seeing you cashing out on Gucci, bro. We've seen the pump vlogs, bro.
Pair of shoes with pump on tour. That was like...
You have to, though.
But I probably bought like five... I've spent like less than $10,000 on designer clothing in my life, I would say.
That's actually pretty impressive.
Not that crazy.
You're with a lot of like designered out cats, bro. So you'll be influenced
I
by
go to
that
the studio.
Shit.
I got Vans on. I'm the only one in there with $30 shoes on. Everybody
Fuck
else
it.
Got the Balenciagas and shit.
You stand out more, bro.
No, but let me just tell you that I've known quite a few rappers in my life who came out onto the scene, had a sort of aesthetic where they were rocking Vans, they were rocking ratty-ass jeans, they were rocking regular-ass t-shirts, and I thought it was dope, but then inevitably they all start getting money, they all start buying fancy shit. I like the idea of you sort of from the beginning being like, nah, like I'm just not going to be that dude.
Yeah, for sure. But once I get my first M, this might completely change. It is because, bro, it feel good when you wear that ice, bro. I ain't gonna lie. It definitely feel good. So I'm gonna just like borrow Namir's chain just to wear it to get like all of my, you know, coonery out just to wear it and then like fuck it.
Well, because it's like, say you have $5 million tomorrow. It's kind of like, what are you gonna do with it? You're gonna buy a car, you probably buy a house.
I mean, invest in Bitcoin.
Smart thing to do is put it in the bank, but most people aren't really thinking that. They're thinking, I might as well buy a bunch of expensive shoes.
Yeah, fuck it.
Fuck it. Anyway, so I'm interested in the fact that your dad was big, like Big L, Nas. That was the stuff I grew up on.
Yeah,
Wu-Tang, all that shit.
Yeah. So I was just young, and it just caught my ear. Just like, it was just dope. You know what I'm saying? So I would just want to like research more about this shit.
Right. Were you intrigued by the lyricism, per se?
Yeah, for sure. Just like mainly like the word, like Eminem, too, obviously. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Just like mainly like the wordplay, like when Big L was just like, Fuck all the glamours and glitz. I plan to get rich. I'm from New York, but never was a fan of the Knicks. Whoa, yeah, exactly. Whoa, Alden, we just had a moment, bro.
We did.
We just had a real moment.
We just became bros.
Yeah, exactly. You're my fucking guy.
What would I ever done without the broskies? What would I have done without YB and Corday? I don't know what I was doing before now.
I have no clue. I had no clue.
So from your perspective, wait, how old are you?
I'm 20.
Okay, 20. So this
is 300.
300. Okay, so from your perspective, you see Namir start popping off, and his shit happened fast.
He went
from like basically nobody to like millions and millions and millions of plays in the course of a couple of days.
Yeah, facts.
What was your perspective on that, watching that happen?
Bro, you know what's funny? I wasn't even like hitting him up when he started popping. Like, I just, you know, hit him up like, yeah, bro, keep doing you. But I figured everybody was going to be on his nuts and on his dick. So I feel like that's what kind of like gravitated us, because I kind of stepped back. You know what I'm saying? Because I still had his number and shit, but I wasn't like pressed to hit him up. You know what I'm saying? Because when you're blowing up, that's to be expected. Everybody's going to fucking hit your phone. So, and he kind of just reached out to me like, bro, what you doing? Like, pull up to LA, whatever, whatever. So it was like, all right, fuck it, bro, I'm with it.
And you had already been recording at this point?
Yeah, I was, but I kind of took it because I was in like college and shit. So I wasn't really, I just started taking music seriously like at the beginning of like 2018, for real, for real. Because I was like in college and shit, like working like some real peasant shit, bro. I wasn't fucking with
Where
it.
Were you
bro.
Working,
Panera? Nah, I was working at Fridays.
Oh, well, that's a good one,
bro.
Too.
Yeah, that shit was ass. It was really shitty, bro.
Did they make you wear flare? Like, you had to have a bunch of pins and buttons on
you?
Nah,
I wasn't with none of that shit. I was the worst, like, server ever, bro. Mm. Like, I was just not a good server. Like, I would show up hella late, because I'd be like, bro, fuck this shit, bro. You know what I'm saying? But just, like, it just wasn't a good
Born
time,
rapper.
Bro. Yeah, exactly. And then, you know that Chance the Rapper song? Go, Herb, you're a server at Fridays. Who worked at Fridays? It's always busy on Fridays. And, like, I was that guy.
Okay.
And so it was just, like, not a good feeling.
Is there anything on the menu at Fridays that we should know about? Like, if we were to go there, what should we order?
Bro, I haven't worked there in, like, a year. And to be honest, bro, speaking about Fridays is giving me, like, a lot of bad memories, bro. So let's just leave that in the past. I've moved on, bro. I'm on... You know, I'm talking with D Adam 22.
Adam 22, who used to work at the grocery store.
For real?
Oh hell
that's
yeah,
dope, bro. You know, Quentin Miller used to work at a grocery store too.
Met him last night.
For real?
Yeah.
Damn, that's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Good guy. I didn't really talk to him for that long, so I don't know if I can it's say he's like, a good guy, but he seemed cool.
Yeah, facts.
Yeah, yeah. I never worked in food service besides the grocery store. I never worked at like a restaurant, so I never really learned what that come up was like.
Yeah. Working, bro, at a restaurant is really pretty, it's actually pretty shitty. I worked at the joint in Baltimore.
Yeah.
So just imagine that. And working at a Fridays, which is already like low middle class, like not to go on anybody, but that's like usually the general area.
You don't really go to Fridays if you're rich.
Yeah, facts, exactly. And in fucking Baltimore, where it's like
grimy.
Bro, it's like the number one murder rate, bro. Right. Like literally. So like I dealt with like the worst human being, like the scum of the earth. Like literally some of the worst, like tables used to run out on me. But it's cool. It was dope. I'm grateful for the experience because it keeps me humble. You know what I'm saying? It was very like a humbling experience. I'm like, yo, like it'll make you go hard. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, man, I can't do this shit no more.
Do you feel like, were you seeing a lot of crazy shit? You know, like Baltimore's a crazy place. You grew up around the shit?
Yeah, bro, that shit, when I was, I'm not from Baltimore, but I went to college in Baltimore and shit for like 1 year. So fucking, I remember my one table, it was like, okay, literally, it was a dad trying to reunite his two daughters, but they had like different moms and shit, no lie. And I just remember going over there, she was like, bitch, your mom was the fucking hoe, and then smacked the shit out of her. Wow. Like, and I'm like, I'm just gonna walk away. I'm enjoying this. Had my phone out and shit. I'm like, instead, why would I break this up when I can get a perfectly good snap story out of this? You know what I'm saying? So I just record that shit, but like, some really fucked up shit. Our cooks would like just not show up. Like it was some real. Our
in
manager
school,
was
saying?
A co-
oh,
my
oh,
manager.
At the Fridays. Okay.
Yeah, my manager was a cokehead. Like no, like literally, bro. I cannot make this shit up. Like this shit's funny as fuck.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I would probably want to start doing a shitload of cocaine if I worked at Fridays too. To be honest.
Yeah, facts.
Anything to get through the day.
I mean, I never tried. That was never my perspective.
And to be honest, it wouldn't be all a good long-term plan anyway, because the thing about doing coke is that you got to just keep doing it. You got to keep doing it.
Yeah.
That would not be good. Plus, you're going to your one shift at Fridays, you're gonna like spend your whole check doing drugs, probably.
Yeah, big facts. It was not. It was not a very reliable source of income, to say the least.
Facts. So okay. So then, how do you? So Nightmare starts blowing up. You you sort of start to see Jay doing his thing too, or what?
Well, I was already. I was just around. As Nightmare was blowing up, I was just always around him. Just like whenever we'd be in the same city, we'd always link up. So I was just like that. You can look at like old vlogs. I was just like around. You know what I'm saying? Like and the crease is perfecting my craft for real, for real. So it's just like, always been around.
Did you always feel like you had something special about you that was going to allow you to be successful or even to be a rapper specifically?
Yeah, bro. I always knew that, like, but I just wouldn't ever press the issue. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, God's timing is, I'm a real believer in, like, divine timing and, like, manifestation. So, like, I made, like, a vision board at the beginning of this year and shit. I'm a real big believer in that. So, I just knew it was coming. Like, so just right now, I guess from that leading on to this, just my plans now is just, like, to be the greatest ever.
Is
so,
that what you were thinking about when you were working, like, working these shitty jobs and stuff? Were you thinking, like, I'm not supposed to be here? I'm supposed to be doing something more important.
Yeah, like, no, like, I say this with all due respect because everybody got to go through their grind years. But I felt like, bro, I'm above this. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because everybody got to go out and grind. I applaud everybody who works, you know what I'm saying, a 9-to-5 or, like, you know, one of those low-income jobs because it's tough. And I've been that. I've done that shit. So I feel you. But that shit is for the fucking birds. That shit is ass, bro. That shit is, like, ass. Like, booty hole. Like, terrible. I thought that every single night.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it was my memories of it too. It was just having shitty jobs. It's just like, God, how the fuck do I get out of here? How do I beat this?
Yeah, I was like, I just knew I was like, bro, I'm about to leave this shit one day. Right. Like, hell yeah.
So you're spending time around Nightmare as he's blowing up and stuff. What moves did you decide, or was there a plan in terms of how you were going to start to present yourself to the public?
Nah, it was, bro. All of this shit, bro, this shit just happened accidentally. I was just like, one day we was just all freestyling and shit. Like everybody thinks, like, this was, like, an orchestrated plan with, like, me, Nightmare, and Jay.
It feels that way.
Yeah, I know. That's how bro, I be telling people we're the fucking warriors, bro. Like,
it feels that way just because Nightmare came out, is super dope. Jay comes out, he's super dope. And then you come out, super dope, but so different.
Yeah, we're all in our different lanes, bro. Like, Jay's the wild, crazy one. Nightmare is just, like, the dope, cool kid. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm, like...
Jay kind of has a monopoly on the celebrity pussy getting area of the crew.
Oh, Jay...
for now.
Jay do his thing, man. Jay definitely does his thing, for sure.
He's out here being the heartthrob. Seems like a setup, just in the sense that you then come out and you're so different from them, but so dope in your own way, that to me it's like there has to be like a mastermind who's sort of like putting together these moves.
Me tell you exactly what happened. Boom. So I'll tell you, I would just always be around. Like, I knew Ace, but I knew Ace for like the last like 7 months to a year. He just knew I could rap like 2 months ago. Because how would that look if I'm just around Nightmare all the time and I'm going up to like managers and everybody? Yo, you know, I make music too. You know what I'm saying? I never want to be that cat. So, but one day, me and Nightmare was just freestyling. He recorded it like on his IG, just me going in crazy and shit. And they was like, yeah. And then Nightmare, and then everybody was like, yo, you should like maybe start rapping like seriously, bro. And I was like, word. I bet. Let's do it. Fuck it.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, that's a special kind of role to play, is like your homie's blowing up and you know you're nice, but you don't want to necessarily like go super out of your way to start outshining them when they just started shining.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to know how to play your role.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Shit.
Yeah, you just got to play your role and like fall back and just not be like too like on dick or wave riding. You know what I'm saying? Right. So I just always, he was like, yeah, bro, you want, like, I was just like, I was sort of hesitant about it because I was in school and shit. I was like, I don't know, bro. You kind of doing your thing now. I ain't trying to get in your way. But, like, everybody just, like, the whole team, like, collectively sat, like, bro, let's do it. And I was like, all right, fuck it.
So what was the first move? Was it the...
Bro, we did. I literally flew. I was, like, skipping hella class this semester. Fly out to L.A. We shot the Eminem No Remake joint. I thought about it. I was like, yo, what would be a dope introduction track? And I was like, yo, I should get on to My Name Is B. And everybody like, you sure you want to do that? Because it's fucking Eminem, My Name Is. Like, if you, and my roommate Wayne, shout out my homie Wayne, he was like, if you fucking hop on the Eminem, My Name Is B, you have to go fucking bananas. And I was like, that's what I do, nigga. So
one of the best rappers of all time,
yeah,
from
facts.
A technical
undeniably
standpoint.
Undeniably top five, bro. Undeniably top five, definitely. You can argue Eminem as the greatest rapper.
But you got off on it.
Yeah, facts. I did okay on that joint. I definitely did okay. And, like, I feel like I definitely have the second best My Name Is after Eminem.
Well, it's an interesting path for you to take in terms of doing that, because I was just reading some book the other day where Dr. Dre and Eminem, they were talking about that decision for that to be the first song. Yeah. And how when you are introducing a brand new artist, that's always the hard thing to do, is to sort of tell the people who that artist is.
Yeah, facts.
So it's interesting because I feel like that song, maybe better than almost any other rap song ever, introduced a new star in a way where everybody all of a sudden knew about it.
Exactly.
So it's interesting that you kind of took that same energy for your career. And that
I super stole the formula from Eminem and Dr. Dre, but I feel like a lot of people stole the formula from Eminem and Dr. Dre, so I'm just the latest to do that shit.
I mean, getting on that beat is interesting too, because it's like 20 years old. So
yeah, but it still has like a modern ass sound to it, bro. Like, especially, and it's kind of like what the culture is missing right now, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
yeah, we need more rappers who sort of, you know, because there are a lot of great rappers in the culture.
Facts. But bro, it's none that's my age that's really like super, like, don't get me wrong, like, I fucking love like what the wave that we have going on, that's going on right now, as far as the youth going, with like, you know, Lil Pump, Trippy, everybody's just fucking going, like Juice WRLD. I fucking love Juice WRLD, he's dope as fuck, shout out to him.
Yeah,
but just like, I don't think there's no one else in my class who like raps like how I rap, or can make music how I can. So I just feel like it makes me stand out a little bit more.
Yeah, see, I think that's the kind of valuable or interesting position that you're in the sense that you are affiliated with Namir and Jay. So you're already part of this popping ass wave, but then you come out with a completely different style.
Yeah, facts.
And I just feel like people are ready for it in a lot of ways. Like, the response I've seen to your 1985 response has just been like, yes, this is what we need. We need this kid. Like, there's something about it. And I do believe you have a lot of star power, too.
Yeah.
Something about you.
I got a feeling, too, man. Like, from my unbiased perspective. You know what I'm saying?
I
do okay.
No, yeah. So, okay. What was your perception of J. Cole leading up to doing this 1985 response? Were you always a fan of him, I'm assuming?
Yeah. J. Cole's, like, super. You know, I'm originally from North Carolina,
right,
bro.
You
so,
go.
You know, like, J. Cole is pretty. He's fucking.
Larger than
Cole.
Life.
I want to say that, but like, J. Cole is dope.
You know, you known about him since you were like really, really young?
No, I didn't know about. I kind of got on a J. Cole wave late. I didn't even know who he was until like, Who Dat?
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back. You know, funny story. My little brother Simba that I was telling you about. He's a shout out Simba, Free Simba. He locked up right now, but he got his rap name from J. Cole. Because, you know, J. Cole used to always call himself, like, Young Simba, Grown Simba, and shit like that. So, boom, I got hip to, like, Who Dat? From, like, I literally found out about him through, like, the most prototypical 2010 way ever. From, like, BET, 106 in Park and shit like that. And then I found out, like, about his old shit, like, Friday Night Lights and shit. And so, like, yeah, like, you know, J. Cole is an influence and shit. But my biggest influence is probably, like I said, Nas, Jay-Z, Kid Cudi, Kanye West and shit like that. So, but yeah, J. Cole's definitely up there. And Kendrick Lamar, obviously. So,
How'd you feel when you heard
1985? It's funny ass story about that. So I heard the, I heard 1985. And as I'm listening to it, my fucking tire pops, right? And, so I'm listening to the song, and an old head in my neighborhood, like, help me change my tire type shit. And we had like a super dope ass, insightful ass conversation. And this is literally as soon as I'm done listening to like 1985, I'm like, damn. But to answer your question, I kind of went on a whatever. But fucking, I first heard it, I was like, damn, this is dope, but whatever. It was super dope, whatever. So, boom, the guy, this old head fixes my tire, helped me fix my tire and shit. And we had like a super dope ass insightful conversation. I was like, yo, this needs to happen like more, because it's like a huge generational gap between the OGs
conversating. Yeah,
exactly. The OGs and the youngins. And I was like, this needs to happen more. He's like, yeah, man, but we need to start like showing y'all more and listening more. And then it just struck a chord. So, you know, I have my rebuttals to what J. Cole was saying. You know, I agreed with him on some points, and then I have my own rebuttals. But then that conversation I had with my neighbor and shit, that really just like, oh shit, that kind of sparked the idea.
That sparked the idea that like, you don't have to come out and diss J. Cole, that you could have have a conversation with him through music, right?
Exactly. Like, people take it in as a... I don't know who the fuck take it in as a diss, but I've seen it a couple times. But that's just like... If you listen to the song, there's literally no way you think it's a diss. Right. If you really listen to it.
But it's such a bold thing to be like such a young dude and to be even putting J. Cole's name in the title of a song that, you know? Like, that's how I think a lot of people might be like, oh, it's got to be kind of a diss. You know?
For sure. That wasn't even my... I think Worldstar kind of did that on their own to like run it up.
Oh, because they put J. Cole response in the title.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not sure, but just like, I feel like, bro, in order to be a great, you gotta study the greats and you gotta challenge the greats, bro. Like, you, like J. Cole may like not let Nas down, you know what I'm saying? So I want to be like I said, I want to be the greatest, like, to do that shit. So right now the top pinnacles is like Kendrick, J. Cole, and Drake. So you gotta go at them. But I wasn't dissing them, but you know, I had a dope convo.
J. Cole's biggest concern on this most recent album just definitely seems to be the drugs, which I think is very reasonable on his part.
And yeah, but just a little bit.
It says a lot about his willingness to take on that, though, because I feel like drugs are the one thing that young people fucking love.
Yeah.
As you get older, you realize that they're bad, that they're very bad.
Yeah.
But there's like a tendency to older people in hip hop to not call out the younger people for abusing drugs because of the fact that they know that drugs are like the cool thing. And they always, in some way, probably always will be. J. Cole, like, the principal thing that he's kind of attacking on the album is just like this, like, you need to be concerned and respect your life in a way that goes beyond this. And like, it's kind of like a noble thing that he took that on in particular. But what's your take on that? Because you're not into drugs, I'm guessing.
Nah, I mean, what me with like drugs and shit, like, I was off the porch a little early, so I was like smoking weed and shit when I was like 15 and shit. I was doing like the fucked up shit then, but like this year I haven't smoked at all. Like, that was one of my, like, New Year resolutions. I'm not going to smoke any weed. I'm not going to do any type of drugs, anything like that. I'm going to just go through, like, a cleansing. Sort of like a mind over. There's nothing wrong with smoking weed or anything, obviously, like that. Well, nothing wrong with smoking weed, obviously enough. But it was just, like, a mind over matter type thing. You know what I'm saying? So, no, I don't do any drugs.
And, I mean, especially, I think that at a period like where you're at in your life, where you really need to be conceptualizing exactly what you want your career to be and who you want to be as a person.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, weed is a great way to like sit back and sort of like, you know, tune out and like relax and shit. But when I look at where you're at in your career and a lot of young rappers and stuff, that's not the direction I would tell them to go in. I would say, yo, you need to be on it. Like, you need to be recording, working, touring, meeting fans, doing all the productive shit, bro. Not just sinking back into yourself, you know?
Yeah, facts, bro, facts. Because it's like, like I told you, I just moved out L.A. like 3 days ago, and I feel like super antsy. I feel like time is currency, bro, like you're saying. Every fucking minute, I want to be doing some like cool shit. Like, I want to be either shooting a video, in the fucking studio, doing a song or like an interview, you know what I'm saying, per se, right now.
Well, I like that about you too, because I keep seeing you at events and stuff, and your vibe is very much like, nah, like, I'm gonna go out, I'm gonna go to these events, I'm gonna meet people, I'm gonna make a good impression on them, and that's gonna help my career.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
what you need
to
be thinking.
Yeah, literally, bro, like all events and shit like that I try to go to. So like the Kanye Cudi event, what you think of the album, by the way?
I mean, I was trying to race through these mountains of people and shit, trying to film shit. But I mean, what I did here, I loved. And that one part that we were singing before, I got that shit stuck in my head. I'm really looking forward.
Wow, we just had that's two moments.
Two moments.
Wow.
Did we just become best friends?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Let's hug after this.
We're on stream, so that's probably what I'm going to do in between this interview and whatever one we do next is that we're going to bump the Cudi. So,
yeah, bro. Yeah.
That's going to be tight. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like, yeah, there's something about like where you're at in your career where I just feel like there's just huge things on the horizon, because I think you're going to be able to seize upon a lot of different fan groups, different types of people are gonna fuck with you.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And even when you look at your shit, like, you got 200k on Instagram and you're getting like crazy engagement, like, serious 50,000-60,000 likes on everything. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm trying to get like a seven Little Pump. I'm trying to like get Little Pump's engagement rate. That motherfucker has like an 80%. He has like 10 million followers and get like 8 million likes on the flip.
And he got all these like real deal celebrities clout chasing, trying to comment on his shit and get some followers and shit.
Yeah, like literally, bro. That shit. I literally watched Little Pump come up from like having like 100k followers on the gram and just like to where he's at now. So that's fucking insane.
Yeah, I think I met him, he had 5,000, and he was, you know, I mean, honestly not that different than he is now. He's just a little smarter now. The first
and
time
a little more iced out.
much more iced out. But even that's new, because like, like right before the Gucci Gang shit and stuff, he wasn't like all crazy with the ice yet.
You know? He just had dumb designer.
I remember him telling me like, "Yo, Adam, I'm about to get the chain, the bracelet, the fucking watch, blah blah blah," and like telling me his plans. And I'm
damn,
like,
"Damn, that's hard."
That's what you're gonna be doing on your Instagram story for the next couple of years is just ding ding ching ding ding.
That shit, bro. Did you see like Young Thug and Future when they were like on tour and they were just going through their fucking jewelry? I was like, bro, what the fuck? That shit was insane.
That
bro.
Made me not want to wear jewelry because I'm like, no matter what I'm
you'll
doing,
you'll never reach that level.
It will never be on
and
level.
And then they had it in like top notch Louis Vuitton fucking suitcases and shit. I'm like, fuck, dude.
I'm like, is there really nothing else that these guys want to do with their money? Or these millions of dollars worth of diamonds and shit is not that big a deal to them, so they don't care. Like, it's not that big a deal for them to have millions of dollars worth of diamonds because they have so much money.
Yeah, facts. Big facts.
Crazy, man. Yeah, that shit. I'm just trying to stay out of it. You know, I'm trying to stay humble, try to stay like normal dude who does content bro. About rap. So I don't want to necessarily jump off the porch and
bro,
be all
you
crazy.
Will be, you will be, bro, I wouldn't mind you getting like a bust down chain, bro. That would be dope. That a bust down choker, bro, for the culture, bro.
Choker?
Yeah, not a choker. Okay, what do
that's
you call
it? That's what girls get to show that they give top. They get the choker.
For real?
I don't want to give off that message.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. Fucking, what do you call it that's not necessarily a choker, but it's like a
the
little
ones that
long.
Sit right
yeah,
here?
That's
I
like
forget.
Right here. But a choker plus like 2 inches, bro, that should be hard. And just a no jumper. Has anybody got a no jumper bust down yet?
Nah. That's a good
bro,
point.
Bro, that wouldn't be bad having a no jumper bust down, bro.
I don't think I want to do it. I think I'm just going to stay jewelry free. I always didn't like it my whole life.
Yeah, I don't even have any tattoos, bro.
No, you know that's what I'm going to do? I'm going to go backwards. I'm going to go house, car, jewelry.
That's the way. That's the route.
I have
I'm
a car,
for.
But like really nice house, really nice car, then really nice jewelry. But for now, I'm just gonna stay regular, 35-year-old scumbag. 34, sorry.
Oh, let him know. Let him know. Big difference there.
So from your perspective, though, like where you haven't done songs with Jay and Namir yet.
Yeah, we have a couple joints in the.
But not out.
Nah, none out yet.
Is
none
that part of the plan? Do you think you're gonna?
Yeah, for sure. We got some hits together for sure. Definitely.
I feel like that would be a huge moment. Like you guys just putting out your first song all together.
Yeah, it's gonna be a hit, bro.
Right.
It's gonna be a hit for sure.
Is there anybody else in the crew who raps?
Nah.
You guys are the
me.
Mans.
Yeah, we're the only three rappers: me, Namir, and Jay.
Hell yeah! What? So from your perspective, though, do you have like a mixtape in mind? Do you have plans like in terms of where you want to take your career, how you want this all to work?
Yeah, for sure. Like release a couple more singles, a couple more videos. I'm about to drop some shit, the shit I played you earlier.
Right.
And, like probably release a video like right after that.
Yeah.
And fucking like just make a I'm working on my I want my first project to be a piece of art, bro. Mm-hmm. Like I want that shit to be like the best project this year. Like that's what I'm aiming for. So I just gotta put in my 10,000 hours, bro. I'm just trying to like perfect my craft and get better as an artist. You know what I'm saying? And so when I feel like it's sonically ready, that's when I'm gonna drop my first shit. But I'm not rushing it. But I'm probably gonna record like 100 songs before I drop my first tape.
Oh yeah, because that 10,000 hours shit from the Malcolm Gladwell book is very, very important. Like I try to give rappers that advice.
Bro. Yeah,
like you know, you might
perfect your craft, bro. Yeah.
Make 500 songs and put out 4 of them instead of making 4 songs and putting out 4 of them.
Yeah, but it's funny to find that balance now because nowadays you can, if you have a fucking insane fan base, you can just drop some throwaways and people will still go crazy over it.
Yeah, but I feel like when we talk about somebody like Lil Pump, the thing that he's done really well is that he's kept his shit very rare.
Yeah, facts.
So it's like if you are a Pump fan, it's like, no, here's one song and this is all you have for a few months. Here's another song. Here's a snippet. Here's me playing the shit on my story every day.
Yeah.
So you build up those songs and make them moments, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I think
exactly.
That's like a big part, like keeping your shit rare. Because if you come out tomorrow and put out 10 songs in your SoundCloud, it's like that's not the wave. Like, you got to spread it out. You got to make shit
wave,
special.
Bro.
Yeah.
Singles is definitely the
or
wave.
When you are ready to put out a project, just you need to make sure that you build towards that project. People know it's coming.
Facts.
It's a big moment in your career.
Yeah, exactly,
you know?
Bro. Exactly. I'm trying to go like 2010 Drake, bro. That's my mode right now. Go like, if I could have the same year that Drake had in 2010, life would be wonderful.
That would be wonderful.
That would be fucking crazy.
Have you ever heard what J. Cole thought of the song you did?
Nah, I haven't. But I'm pretty sure he's seen the video. I know he's seen the video, but I don't know what he thought of it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
What would you say to him if you had a conversation with him? What do you think it would be like?
It'd be like, what's good, nigga? What's up? I like that 1985 shit. What you think of my shit, nigga? Oh, nigga. It's like, nah. I'm pretty sure it'll be like a super dope, insightful convo. Cause yeah. I would ask him, I won't even bring up the song. I would ask him like just vet advice about the game. Cause he's a vet, bro. You don't have like longevity and like a long 10-year career with him without being knowledgeable. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So I would just ask for like any tips or any advice on that for real. But like I would want his input on that song would be like fucking super dope if I can get that.
I'm gonna hit him up and tell him to watch this podcast so I can help spark off that conversation.
Yeah, that'd be dope, bro. You'd be the man if you can do that.
Well, the thing that's weird to me about the fact that you even sort of came out by, you know, making a song that sort of referenced J. Cole and stuff is that you remind me of him a lot.
For real?
Yeah.
You know what's funny, bro? My uncle, here's some funny shit. My J. Cole plays in my uncle's basketball league. Like over, my uncle has
still.
My uncle has an over. He's like the most normal, cool guy ever, from what my uncle says. My uncle Wayne, shout out Uncle Wayne. He has like an over 25 basketball league and shit, and like J. Cole plays in it. He'd be like, yo. And J. Cole does like a lot of like community shit with my uncle. My uncle's like super involved with the community. He's like, yo, I'm gonna introduce you to J. Cole. I'm like, no, bro, don't do that. Cause like, how the fuck would that look? Hey, my nephew, here's my nephew Mix. He's like, yo, I'm gonna send this to J.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many
how
fucking times?
How often do you think he hears that?
Yeah. Bro, exactly, bro. I'm like, fuck no, please, pray to God, don't do that shit, bro. So it's just like, I don't know, bro, but just like I said, just get vet advice from him, but that'd be like super cool.
No, because you know what the thing that struck me when J. Cole came through here? He comes through, he's dressed like, you know, pretty normal, doesn't have a big security guard with him, he's just got his one homie.
I got Ace. Ace got the hands, though, bro. Ace, my manager, got the hands, bro. Peep is IG, bro. He got the hands, bro.
I wouldn't want to fight Ace. That's a damn good fact.
For sure.
No, but like J. Cole, he's just like, he just struck me as like, whoa, like you could be that famous and also be that humble. Like that's how I felt talking to him. Like in a lot of ways, like I've just never met anybody that acted like that much of a regular dude who was that, like he's like the most selling rapper, like, you know, at least top three selling rapper.
He's a superstar, bro.
He's about as big as it gets, and he was just so cool, and that kind of inspired me in a way where it's like, man, just because I'm getting bigger and more well-known, I don't have to like start acting bougie and start acting weird.
Yeah, exactly,
you know?
Bro. Yeah, I'll be on that same shit because, well, obviously me, I'm not, if you drop the song realistically, you probably do more views than me.
Yeah.
But fucking.
Nah.
But like, I haven't even scratched the surface yet. I haven't done anything compared to what I'm about to do, but it's just like, you know, all my homies back home, they're like sicing me, you know what I'm saying? They're like, bro, you try like going crazy right now. I try not to listen to it because complacency also leads to like declination, you know what I'm saying? So if you get complacent where you're at, you're going to like decline just by default, you know what I'm saying? If you start acting like an asshole to people, those same vibes will come back. And like, the main thing is like just building genuine organic relationships. So if you're trying to shit on like this upcoming writer who wants to do like a writing vlog for you, you're like, man, get your bitch ass out of here, little kid. That motherfucker might turn into like the head of the sword. You never know who you're being an asshole to, who they are or who they could be or who they're about to be. You know what I'm saying? So I got a lot of like funny ass hip hop stories, like of like rappers like being mad, like, I don't know. All the rappers I met so far have been like pretty cool, but like I got this funny ass story. Like when I was like 15 with Young Thug. Shout out Young Thug. He's a fucking legend. But like I was like, this is when I first learned. I learned the hard way, and I'm glad I learned it way earlier. So like I haven't done this shit in like years. But I think Young Thug like had a festival or some shit, and I just walked up to him. And was just like, and I pulled my phone. I was by him, and I was like a little kid, and I knew like one of his homies, so I thought I was good. And I pulled out my phone, like, yo, man, we out here, Young Thug. He was like, hey, get your bitch ass out of here. I swear to God. He's like, hey, no, he said this. He's like, no, get your faggot ass out of here. I was like, Young Thug just called me a faggot in a dress. While wearing a dress.
He was wearing a dress?
No, he wasn't. But it was just funny. That's like the funniest shit ever,
that would
though,
be
right?
The best, yeah.
Yeah, facts. But it was.
Wait, but where were you exactly?
I want to say I was in D.C., bro.
But what kind of environment was it?
I was like backstage, bro. Okay, I was like right by his like Sprinter van or some shit. And this one, he's huge. And you know, I was like 15. This one, Snapchat first came out. And I was like, I literally was this close to crying, bro. I was about to go home and fucking cry my eyes out, bro. And I was like, because I just watched this concert from backstage, because like my folks plugged me into that joint. I was like, damn. But then I realized, like, bro, I can't even be mad at the guy because, bro, you know how many people walk up to these celebrities with their phone out? and shit, and like, just, you know, and especially, and we're in the age of trolling, you know what I'm saying? For all he, and he just seen, he didn't see, and you could tell when I turned around and he looked at me, he was like, damn, that's a little, he kind of felt bad, like, damn, that's a little kid. But it's like, bro, you can't be walking up to these like super clouded people or like celebrities with just your phone out on some groupie shit.
And some people too.
And I'm glad I learned that early. I learned that like 4 years ago before it became a thing, bro. So like,
but some people, like Young Thug, I would say, is probably a decent example. He's a, he's from the streets. Like, yeah, he is a street dude.
He will
kill
you. He will kill you.
You know, like, he might be a famous rapper now, but he also, like, is... He's jumpy. Yeah. You know, he's not, he's been in the streets his whole life.
Yeah, and I think this is when he had the whole, like, fake, Young Thug was beefing with a lot of cats, too. So, you know, as far as he know, I could have been, like, a little shooter. And, indeed, you know what goes on in D.C. Shit always happens in D.C. Like, if you're bound, if some fuck shit is going to happen to you as an artist, it's probably going to happen in D.C.
Yeah. Damn, but that does still, like, I mean, I could never imagine yelling at a kid like that. Like, I'll definitely tell a kid, get the hell out of here. But I would not.
Yeah, but he didn't. But, okay, the Young Thug, I'm defending the guy. Like, I'm defending the guy and shit. But, like, to his defense, because it's like, obviously that was, like, years ago, so I have no animosity. I'm still a fan of Young Thug. But, like, he just seemed like the back of my hat. You know what I'm saying? But when I turned around, he was like, oh, shit. But I was, like, 5 feet, so... But I mean, he probably was like hella drugged out, so you know.
That's also probably a factor.
That's probably a huge fucking factor.
That lean will make it real irritable.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. He's like, bro, I'm over here chill. I think he was like, it was in front of like some basketball players, some NBA players and shit too. I think he was having like a convo. Okay. So you know, I wouldn't go to that extreme, but like, if you're the average superstar, if somebody just comes up to them with their phone out as they're having, I don't think that would
But that's
happen.
Like, being super cool to your fans is like a big attribute these days, in the sense that your fans will talk about that. They'll be like, he is the coolest dude ever. I used to always hear about that dude, Andrew WK, that he'd sit around after his concerts to do like a free meet and greet for hours, three, four hours, just meeting his fans, taking photos, everything.
That's probably worth it, bro. Like,
crazy.
Your fans, bro, I want to have the type of fans that are like apostles, bro, that like will fucking spread the word. The fan, you need that core fan base that love you so much. They're gonna buy your merch. They're gonna tell their friends about you. They're gonna want to get everybody hip to you.
You want that J. Cole fan base where you don't got to put out the single. You
bro,
barely got to put
J.
out.
Bro, this nigga J. Cole got in the sweetest. This nigga don't
no features.
Got, bro, no features. Right, this, bro. And he, you know, it's funny, J. Cole, he's after that bag. That nigga, like, produces all his tracks, so he don't got to drop the bag on the bread. He don't got to split the bread with the producers.
Did you watch the conversation between J. Cole and Lil Pump?
Nah, I watched, like, bro, that shit was, like, an hour. That shit was, like, 2 hours,
I still
got to
do
it. I watched, like, 10, 20 minutes of it.
I listened to them on FaceTime like, for, like, 20 minutes in real life, and that's why I haven't watched the whole thing, but I do want to get on it.
Didn't you, like, throw that oop for real?
A little bit, just because I was backstage. Pump's like, yo, you got J. Cole's number? Boom, he started FaceTime. But you know what was really weird about that?
Yeah.
Is that some random kid had FaceTimed J. Cole or, like, tried to prank call him, like, right before we called him.
Oh,
shit. It didn't have anything to do with us, because I didn't give his number out. Pump didn't even have his number. He was talking to him on my phone and stuff, but J. Cole was kind of, like, weirded out. Like, he thought that we might have, like, been trying to prank call him or something, which is... I would not do that.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be a weird...
Adam would not... Adam recites Big L lyrics with me, fellas. He's a... Facts. Adam is for the fucking culture, people.
I'm waving automatic guns at nuns.
Ooh. Come on, now. No, the craziest line Big L said, he said... Before I buck lead and lead a lot of bloodshed, far from broke, got enough bread and mad hoes, axe
Beavis,
I
get
nothing
but head. Facts.
Adam, come on, hug, bro. Nah, fuck that shit. Come on.
I feel like we just shared a big hip-hop moment there. Yeah, I wish J. Cole was here to share that with us, too. Oh, man.
As well call this interview Cordae featuring J. Cole, bro.
I'm down when you use his name. Get some views. Facts. He'd probably appreciate that. All right, man. Well, so what else do we need to look forward to? Like, what do you want the world to know about you that we haven't discussed just yet?
Let me see. What do you need? One, I'm super fucking dope, if you haven't, like, from my unbiased opinion.
You feel like you're still getting a lot better at rapping
and
stuff?
Yeah, bro. Like I was telling you, I'm just trying to put in my 10,000 hours of work, bro. I'm trying to get, like, I just want to be the best artist ever, bro. So in order to do it, I can't be saying shit like that and not be putting in the work to do it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm really just grinding, just putting in work. And I love making music, bro. I got to drop out of college and quit my job to be a full-time rapper. That's fucking amazing.
You're
bro.
In a good position because you got Fridays in the rearview mirror, like right there. You can still see it. You're still like, bro, I'm out like, of oh, here, bitch.
Exactly. Ain't no falling off, nigga. Fuck that. I'm like, oh, nigga. Hell no.
Yo, if I keep going, I might never have to go back.
What's even scarier than Fridays is college. That shit is. I was miserable at school, bro. That shit was so ass, bro. Oh my goodness. We had some hoes at my school. It was some bad bitches, but
that is the good thing about college.
That's the only thing. We had some bad bitches. But them bitches weren't trying to let me fuck, so fuck them.
Well, that can be bad too. Yeah,
yeah, exactly, bro. And yeah. Now I had some joints, but I feel like I definitely should have had a monopoly on all the bad bitches at my school, bro.
When I think about college, I didn't drink. So yeah, when bro, I think about it, I'm like, I missed out on a lot of going to parties and meeting all these random girls because I wasn't in that scene.
I did that like the first 3 months of school, but then I realized, bro, that's real like you're that's just emptying out a bank, bro. Like you, cause you gotta fucking pay $20 for an Uber and back, mm-hmm. and then it's like a way. I'm like I said, time is currency, bro. I've never been one to like waste my time, bro. And just going out clubbing and going to college parties, that shit is a waste of time, mm-hmm. bro. Cause 9 times out of 10, you're not gonna bag a chick at a club.
Nah.
You're not gonna back. Everybody's at the club just to and phones and social media ruin the club scene anyway, bro. Because everybody just wants to look like they're having a good time online when in reality.
But you got 200K now, so you're lit in the club. You walk up to a girl, she's like, "Bing, 200K. What's up?"
Yeah, fact. Yeah, that actually happened like yesterday after the Kanye Cuddy shit. That shit was
having 200K versus having 2K is a whole different world in terms of how that first conversation with the girl goes.
Yeah, facts. Facts, bro. Because before in LA, I learned that in LA, especially in my 3 days, the first thing people ask for your IG.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, when you're talking to somebody, oh, yeah, what's your IG? That's like the first, that's literally within the first 3 sentences. Oh, yeah, what's your IG? And then from there, they realize how much they're going to fuck with you, which is fucking insane and like incredibly unbelievable. But that's just the world we live in today. And I happen to be on the other side of the perks now.
Exactly.
So, you know,
there you go.
And,
yeah.
And when I hit that one M, oh, yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, the M. I still got the M in my fucking sights. I'm still.
What are you at now?
It's like 720 or something.
Oh, you're going to hit that shit.
I got
nigga,
Fridays bro. Back there and I got the M in the horizon. Like,
yeah,
the M
yeah
is
that's where I'm at. I need that M and then I need 10 M's. And 20 M's. And then
I'm thinking
I need
about
those
the Instagram until I start thinking about the bank account.
And bro, if I was just about to say that I need those M followers to translate into the bank account.
I don't
bro.
Even know so what I have in the bank. Once I get the million on Instagram, then I'm going to check my bank account and see what I got.
Yeah, facts. It needs to be at least like a 10% rate. You need to have at least 10% of your followers. You know how we talk about engagement rate? We need a money engagement rate. So if you have 200K followers, you need 20, at least 20 racks in but the bank.
Would you rather have $1 million in the bank or 1 million followers on Instagram?
I don't know, because I can flip that. Mm-hmm. No, but
like a million real people who fuck with you that listen to
what's
your music
and stuff.
What's
the interaction rate? What's
exactly.
the engagement rate of those
followers? There's a lot of people with 1 million that don't mean nothing. But, I mean, if you have 1 million and you're smart and resourceful and you could do something with that fan base,
but I'm not
you're going to make
tripping.
1 million
I'll
10 times
I'll probably be
over.
At like 1 million followers by the end of the summer.
Mm.
So I ain't tripping off that.
Yeah, you're going to beat me to it for sure.
If
I'm going to be dead soon.
Oh, it's okay. I'll bring you. As soon as I get, I promise you this, as soon as I get a million followers, I'm like, I'm not dropping a song until Adam 22 gets 1 million followers.
Oh, I need
we doing
that.
That.
Yes,
we doing, and that's,
I love that
and that's
idea.
Recorded. And that's recorded.
Duh. That's, you heard it here.
You heard
Let's
it here.
Let's end this interview before you can rethink that.
Facts. I'm thinking that now.
Who
facts.
Do you want to shout out before you get out of here?
Shout out my homie M1 Darton, man. Shout out my man M1. Shout out my motherfucking man. Free Simba, man. We love you, little bro. Free Simba. Simba going to be home soon. He up next.
Free
and,
Simba, for sure.
Trying to think of... Shout out mom. Shout out my little brother, Amir. Yeah. Tajay.
Big facts.
Then, yeah, and shout out JIDK, too. Shout out JIDK.
Yeah, I'm supposed to meet up with him at some point. He just moved out
for
here.
For real? He was about to pull up here with me today. Yeah, PG County, Maryland, bro.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, I haven't met him yet. I got to get on that. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
All right, well, hey, everybody, go
History.
Listen to YB and Corday. He got Fridays in the rearview mirror. He got a mill on the horizon.
Yes, $1 million.
It's lit. Thank you very much to everybody who watched this. Pow. No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Bah! I'm rolling like an alpine, I got no joy. I'm rolling like an alpine.